The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 2, text number 70, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on May 31st, 2015, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Krishna
Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 70. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Apuryamanam Machala Pratishtam. Apuryamanam Machala Pratishtam. Samudramapa pravishanti yadvat, Samudramapa pravishanti yadvat, Tadvat kamayang pravishanti sarve, Tadvat kamayang pravishanti sarve, Shushamtamapnoti nakamakami, Shutamtamapnoti nakamakami. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Purport. Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water. But the ocean remains the same, steady. It is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness. A Krishna-conscious man is not in need of anything because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities. Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself. Desires may come to him like the waters of the rivers that flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities, and he is not even slightly disturbed by desires for sense gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna-conscious man, one who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. Because he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace. The fruit of workers, these salvationists, and also the yogis who are after mystic powers are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord, and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material desires, and therefore they are perfect, and therefore they are in perfect peace.
Vande Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tamsa Jiva Sadaita Sadhuta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, this verse of the Bhagavad Gita and its accompanying purport are some of the most amazing things we have ever heard in Prabhupada's books. Just consider this point. In Prabhupada's purport, the proof of a Krishna conscious man is that he has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, even though the desires are present. In other words, he may feel a desire for sense gratification within his heart, but even though he feels the desire, he's not inclined to satisfy the desire. Just like he may feel an itch in his body, but he's not inclined to scratch it. This is a very important point. He may feel the itch, but he has no desire to scratch it. This is exemplified by Jamunacharya Albandru of South India. He has written very nicely. Yadavadi mamma cheta Krishna padaravinde Nava nava rasadamun yattarantumasit Tadavati bhattanari sangame smayamane Bhavati mukushushtu nishtivanamcha. Ever since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna and Radha, enjoying nava nava rasa, ever sweeter and sweeter mellows in their loving service. Whenever the desire for sense gratification, for sex life specifically, may arise within my heart,
I spit at the thought. So, even though Jamunacharya is stating, even though he may feel previously he was engaged in all sorts of sinful activities as a king with so many beautiful palace girls, even though he may sometimes feel an inclination or a desire, he's not inclined to satisfy that desire. He just spits at it. You see. He's not inclined. So a devotee, he's fixed up in Krishna consciousness, tasting sweet, sweet happiness, in relishing the wonderful name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by some chance or some any reason why, if some thought comes of sense gratification, he's not disturbed by it. No, thank you. Like Maya says, Maya gives an invitation to her sense gratification party. He says, no, thank you. When Mr. Lust comes to the hotel of his heart, he will find a sign there that says, no vacancy. His heart is completely filled with Krishna. He's tasting so much nectar from Krishna's name. Do you know how much nectar there is in Krishna's name? Can any of you say how much nectar there is in these two syllables? Krishna. How much nectar is there? Can any of you say how much nectar? Rupa Goswami says, I cannot say how much nectar there is in these two syllables. Krishna. Rupa Goswami has very nicely written in this connection. He says, Tunde tandamani viteng vitinate tundamani lamdeye karna krodhaka damani gatayate kanamjade braspeham cheta pangana sangine vidayate sravindiyanam kritim no jane janita kriyad biramita krishnaiti dvarnadvai. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, Krishna himself is dancing on my tongue, oozing out so much nectar that what my little mouth can hold, I need to have millions of miles to capture that nectar. And when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental ecstasy. So in this way, you see, who could be attracted to sense gratification? Show me any kind of sense gratification, even up to the heavenly pleasures of the demigods with the damsels, the apsaras in the heavenly planets. Show me any pleasure which compares to Krishna, vibrating Krishna with love. You may say, but Prabhu, I don't taste that when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Well, that's because we're neophytes. For a neophyte, sometimes the holy name is like bitter poison, isn't it? Rupa Goswami is also written in this connection. Just see how indebted we are to Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. How much we're indebted to him for his teachings. Do you know how hard he worked to give us this knowledge? You know how much he slept every night? Only 1.5 hours he slept. That's how dedicated Rupa Goswami was to giving us this knowledge. So he is explaining how much nectar he is tasting. But for us neophytes, what is it like sometimes? Well, it's like poison sometimes. I don't want to chant. But I have to. I took a vow. I got to finish my rounds. Sometimes it's like that, you see. Rupa Goswami has written about this also. He says, Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasha Nasha Narochi Kanu Kint Vandana Nanunirang Kalushai Vajushta Sarvi Kamad Bhavetad Kallamula Hantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So what is our present position? We are diseased. We don't always experience the holy name as nectarian. Sometimes it's an austerity for us to chant Hare Krishna. But if we will continue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, as Rupa Goswami says, carefully every day, if we will continue, this is why the spiritual master says, you must chant every day 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra, at least. Why has the Guru Maharaj ordered you to do it? Because this is your medicine. If you will take this medicine faithfully every day, not one day taking, another day skipping, no. Every day, faithfully take this medicine, the result will be that gradually, the pure nectarian essence of the name will fully manifest within your heart, will fully become visible, perceivable, experienceable within your consciousness, which means you will be directly associating with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has so mercifully appeared in the form of Nama Avatar, the holy name. So the key to actually coming to this exalted state of consciousness described in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita is you have to simply associate with Krishna. Krishna has come to bless you with his Sangha. Krishna Sangha is available for you whenever you want it. You say, well, I'm lonely. I don't have any association. What do you mean? The Supreme Association is available for you. You have to simply take advantage of it. Krishna is there to bless you with his association at every minute, 24 hours a day. How much are you taking advantage of Krishna's association? That's the question. You can't say you don't have a chance for association. You are working at a karmic office, you're working in the school, you're away from devotees. You can't give me any excuse. The Supreme Association of Krishna is available for you at every minute. How much are you chanting Krishna's name? How much are you remembering Krishna in every situation? That's the challenge I'm putting it to you. How much are you taking advantage of this process? That's it. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force him to drink. The spiritual master can describe these things to you, but how much you take advantage of it, that's completely up to you. Nobody can force you to surrender to Krishna. Even Krishna will not force you to surrender to Krishna. Krishna is all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants, but he never forces someone to surrender. Why? Because he doesn't want prisoners in the spiritual world. He wants those who love him voluntarily. So Krishna, therefore, has given you a nature which is called tatastha, situated in a borderline state of consciousness. You can go either way. Tata, sta. Just like at the ocean side, There is a portion of the beach which is sometimes land, dry land when the tide goes out, and sometimes under the water when the tide comes in. So our consciousness is like that, tata sta. It's situated in a borderline state. We can either be in Krishna consciousness or we can be in Maya consciousness according to our desire. Therefore, since we have this nature to either love Krishna or leave Krishna, if we love Krishna, it's not by force, but it's by voluntarily choosing to love Krishna. So Krishna wants those, he wants us to voluntarily love him. That's real love. Love cannot be forced. Not that I can put a gun in your head and, okay, love me or I'll shoot. You can't force someone to love you. You give them your love and hope that they will somehow or other be inspired to return that love from their side. This is what Krishna has done. He has given you full, unlimited love. As Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, he, as his, in the form of his representative, the spiritual master, he is bestowing unlimited love upon you at every minute. Now, how much will you recognize that love of Krishna? How much will you reciprocate with that love of Krishna? That is up to you completely. Don't sleep. Wake up. That is completely up to you. You see, we can sleep or we can wake up. It's our choice. You see, if we sleep, where do you go? The mode of ignorance. If you're in the mode of ignorance, what kind of body do you get? You get a certain type of body suitable for the mode of ignorance, you see. If you're in the mode of passion, you get a certain body suitable for the mode of passion. If you're in the mode of goodness, you get a body suitable for the mode of goodness. If you're transcendentally situated beyond the modes of material nature, you will get a body suitable, which means a transcendental spiritual body back in the spiritual sky in the association of Krishna. So you are right now, my dear ladies and gentlemen, now at this very minute, you are creating your next body. What sort of body are you creating for yourself? Where are you putting your consciousness right now? Are you focusing on Krishna? Are you going off on a sattvic tangent or a rajasic tangent or a tamasic tangent? Where is your consciousness going? I see. That's your choice. Where do you want to direct your consciousness? You are the master of your own consciousness. Where do you want to direct it? Where do you want to put it? You want to attach it to the lotus feet of Krishna? Then you are called Krishna conscious. You see? It's your choice. No one can force you to be Krishna conscious. It's simply your choice. You are the master of your consciousness. Where will you put your consciousness? By that choice of where you put your consciousness, you are creating your next material body or spiritual body. Now you decide what kind of body you want to have in your next life. You want to have another material body? You want to have an animal body? How about a plant body or a germ body in your next life? Or a worm in stool? You see? You're creating your next body. You decide where you want to go, what you want to be. If you want to be back in Krishna and your Swarupa, your original form, before you fell into material existence, then you better start focusing on Krishna exclusively. Exclusively. I have no business except to remember Krishna at every minute. I have nothing else to do except to always be absorbed in thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, bowing down to Krishna, serving Krishna, taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, the pure representative of Krishna, serving the devotees who are the representatives of Krishna, you see. In this way, if you get caught up in society, friendship, and love, you remain in society, friendship, and love for millions of years. You know that gopi, she warned her gopi girlfriend. She said, my dear gopi girlfriend, Don't you dare go to Keshigat tonight. Because if you go to Keshigat, you will see this beautiful boy, Krishna. And he is smiling so beautifully. And he is playing the fifth note on his flute so enchantingly. And if you go to Jamuna Bank tonight, you will completely forget about society, friendship, and love. So my dear gopi girlfriend, don't you dare get close to Jamuna tonight. So what did that gopi do? She ignored the advice. She immediately went running to Keshiga. Let me see this boy Krishna, you see. He's putting his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body bending in three places is shining very, very brightly in the moonlight. In this way, the gopi girl, she gave up. Who cares? I don't care a fig for this society, friendship, and love. What good has it done for me? I simply want to go and see that beautiful boy, Krishna, standing in the bank at Keshigat, the bank of Jamuna at Keshigat, you see. So we must follow in the footsteps of that gopi girl. She is our siksha guru. We must follow in the footsteps of that gopi girl and give up all desire for society, friendship, and love, you see. If I had been too much worried about society, friendship, and love, I could not have joined this movement. My grandmother said, why didn't you become a Baptist minister? But I did not care. My father said, son, why don't you do something good for the society, like get a job in a hospital? I did not care for such advice, you see. Actually, one time I did have a job in a hospital. What good was it? I was a janitor. What good was it? This is the real job. Even if you have some other job, that's all right. As a householder, you have to maintain your family. That's all right. But you have to understand what is your real job. Just like Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mahanday, he was a cloth merchant. But Prabhupada said his real business actually was puja. As soon as he comes home, immediately he's doing puja. Puja, 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 puja. Go to the work to maintain the puja. That's all. He would go to his office, he would go to the cloth shop to sell some cloth just to maintain his puja. His real business was puja. Worshipping Krishna, you see. Prabhupada said he was pure devotee. So we have some work, that's all right. But why are we doing the work? To maintain our Krishna conscious lifestyle, that's all. So I can buy vegetables, fruits, dairy products, and grain. So I can have a nice altar. I have some electricity. A place for my family and I can cultivate Krishna consciousness. You see? As Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, now I'm working this job to support your household, Krishna. You have to see your home is not your home. If you think it's your home, you are living in a snake pit. It's not your home. Where you're living, that is Krishna's place, you see. And you are there to serve Krishna. You have to make your temple into a, your home into a temple of Krishna. And you have to serve Krishna there. You see. So you go to work to maintain a temple, a Krishna, a center of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said every householder's home should be a Hare Krishna center. So you're going to maintain a Hare Krishna center, a place where Krishna is the center and all the residents there serve Krishna, you see. In this way, you have to live your Krishna conscious life as a householder. Or you can become brahmachari, sannyasi, vanaprastha, you see. Those options are also there at a certain stage in life. So, in this way, one should understand, I have no duty, no business except sarvadharman prajaja mam ekam shadanam vraja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshyasyami ma shuchah. I have no other business except to fully surrender myself to Krishna. When you become attracted to Krishna, what happens to all of those material attractions which have captured your heart for millions and billions of lifetimes? And those attractions will simply fade away, because there's nothing more beautiful, more wonderful, more thrilling, more spectacular, more adventurous, more amazing, more tantalizing, more delicious, more intriguing than Krishna. This is why he is called the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He possesses all attractive features. What are the attractive features in this world? Well, if somebody's really good-looking, like, you know, Miss Universe, and we're all attracted. Oh, Miss Universe has come to the temple today. Everybody will look. Oh, Miss Universe has come for darshan. Let's see Miss Universe. You see, we all want to see Miss Universe has come. You see. Someone is very powerful. The Prime Minister has come. Oh, all the eyes look. The Prime Minister has come. Someone is very renounced. You see, Mahatma Gandhi has come. Oh, or Mother Teresa. Some very renounced person. Just see, oh, Mahatma Gandhi has come. Everyone's looking. Mahatma Gandhi is here. Some very knowledgeable person has come. Dr. Einstein has come. Oh, Dr. Einstein. Albert Einstein has come. E equals MC squared. Oh, there he is. He just walked in the door. Everyone's looking, you see. Some is very wealthy. Oh, Bill Gates has come. Oh, Bill Gates. Jai, Hari Bol, Bill Gates. You see? And someone very famous, Paul McCartney of the Beatles. Oh, Paul McCartney is here. Just see. He's walked in the door, you see. So anyone who's powerful, who's beautiful, who's renowned, who's knowledgeable, who's wealthy or famous, we're all very attracted to such a person. So just imagine if there's some there's a person who's more powerful than anybody in the history of the universe, who's more beautiful than anybody in the history of the universe, who's more renowned than anybody in the history of the universe, who's more knowledgeable, more wealthy, more famous than anybody that's ever existed in the whole history of it, of all of existence. If such a person were to be present, we would be completely, absolutely transfixed. Just see, this person, the all-attractive person has come. And what is the Sanskrit word for all-attractive? Krishna. You see? And if we're not attracted to Krishna, oh my God, that means we're in a state of insanity. If we are not completely, totally captivated by Krishna at every minute, it means we're in a state of delusion, confusion, insanity. What is that word? Psychotic. Madness. If you're not attracted to Krishna, you're a psychotic. You're not a sane person. An actual ditta. A sane person. You will be totally captivated by Krishna. If you're not completely attracted to Krishna, my dear sir, I have to inform you, if you're not totally, absolutely head over heels captivated by Krishna, you are a complete, total lunatic. Actually, it's a fact. You're a lunatic. You're not Krishna conscious man. You're a lunatic. That's a... Anyone who is not... So that's our position. Prabhupada has come to save the lunatics. To give sanity to the lunatics. Prabhupada has come. ISKCON is an institution for taking... It's for the insane people. It's an insane asylum. To take the lunatics and make them sane people. We are lunatics and Prabhupada is saving us. You understand? You are a lunatic. And Prabhupada is saving you from your lunacy by bringing you back to your original state of sanity, which is to be completely, totally mad after God at every minute. You understand this point? So now do you understand what is the Krishna consciousness movement? Do you understand? It is to take the insane people and make them sane. That is the Krishna consciousness movement. It's not just some religious organization. No. It is a movement to make the sane people throughout this, the insane people throughout this entire universe, to bring them back to sanity. That is the real meaning of the Krishna consciousness movement. It is not another one of the religions of the world. It is the essence of religion, which is to come back to your original sane identity beyond all the madness, the lunacy, the insanity, the craziness, the madness, the wildness, the bedlamness, if you can call it that, coining a term. Bedlam is a famous insane asylum. Bedlam. This material world is a bedlam. It's a gigantic loony bin, an insane asylum. So we must come out of the madness. The spiritual master is a psychiatrist. He teaches the insane people how to become sane. That is his service. So in this way, we have to understand what is Krishna consciousness and take it seriously. If there's any questions that can now be given, actually we only have 5 minutes, I think, isn't it? We end at 5. Okay, 5 minutes for questions. And then after the lecture, I have my book is now available. This is a wonderful book. Prabhupada personally blessed me that I could write books. I asked him about it. And so I've written a book of questions and answers about Krishna consciousness. It's called Truth Works. And after the end of the lecture, I will be in the gift shop over here with a whole case of these books. Anybody who wants to get one, I'll sign your name and give you a blessing. I'll write in your name, sign my name, I'll give you a written blessing in your book. So now we'll try to go through these questions really quickly. We have 5 minutes. Okay, exclusively remembering Krishna, what is the difference between remembering Krishna and remembering Guru? Guru is the external manifestation of Krishna. So if you're remembering Guru, that's as good as remembering Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada says remembering Guru is even better than remembering Krishna. Krishna wants to see how much you're dedicated to his servant. That's more important to him than how much you're dedicated to him. Are we devotees not also under the influence of the Chaitanya moon? Yes, devotees are under the influence of the Chaitanya moon. That's the meaning of being a devotee. Are we transcendental lunatics? Yes. We are. There is transcendental lunacy. That is our position. We are, as you awaken your Krishna consciousness, you become a transcendental lunatic, mad after God, Prabhupada said. Kindly explain the importance of worshipping Tulsi Devi. Tulsi Devi is very essential. As we sing every day, just by doing her parikrama, we're freeing ourselves from sins. We're actually worship a... The beauty of Tulsi worship is this. She is a resident of Vrindavan, and you can actually associate... Just imagine if Prabhupada was physically present in your house, how powerful that would be. Well, Tulsi Devi is physically present in your house, and you can worship this great resident of Vrindavan. And Lord Nrsingadev gives us all protection from danger. Kindly bless the newly wed couple. Will you take this garland? Have a happy Krishna conscious marriage. What is the responsibilities of an initiated devotee towards the temple? Everybody, the initiated and non-initiated, who is in this area should all be dedicated to making this temple a grand success. Everyone should be volunteering for service. Do all initiated devotees go to Goloka Vrindavan after leaving their material bodies? That depends on their swarup. It's possible someone could go to the Vaikuntha Brahm depending on their swarup. Although it's really according to your swarupa. You may say, well, if I'm ultimately a devotee of Narayan, why should I chant Hare Krishna? Maybe I should say Namo Narayan instead of Hare Krishna mantra. No. Whatever your swarup is, whether you're your Swarup is in Golok or in the Vaikuntha realm, this Hare Krishna, it will take you, is the best way to get there. And I might add in this connection that Prabhupada points out that you can actually change your Swarup. That's possible to actually change one's Swarup as well. Even if you were, even if you came to this material world from the Vaikuntha realm, after coming here to ISKCON and hearing about how wonderful Goloka Vrindavan is, you could actually change your Swarup and go to Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada confirms this in one lecture. What are the secrets of devotional service given by Rupa Goswami? Well, there are the three essential aspects of practicing Krishna consciousness are described by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada mentioned them in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion. The three basic things are this. If you can do these three things, I guarantee you, you'll become a pure devotee and you'll go back to Godhead. Here's the three things. Number one, Adaugarashvayam. Take shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the first thing you have to do. The second thing you have to do is get initiated. That means you make a commitment that I will always follow your instructions. You make that vow. That's called initiation. And the third aspect is you have to actually do that. You have to strictly follow his instructions, taking his orders as your very life and soul. If you do these three things, you see, shelter, diksha, and initiation, and obedience. SDO. Just remember, SDO is the way to go. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. Say this, SDO is the way to go. SDO is the way to go. Yeah. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. If you do these three things, you'll become a pure devotee. You'll realize your eternal relationship with Krishna. When you leave your body, you'll wake up in Krishna Loka. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. That's what you have to do. So we thank you all very much for your kind attention. May Krishna bless all of you with SDO. Yes. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. May we all become blessed with these three things, because by these three things, you'll become a pure devotee and you will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, very soon. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Remember, I'll be in the gift shop now with a book. Anybody wants a copy, come over. Come on over, y'all. Hare Krishna.